Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Peter and I were talking at the break. How will you remember this election? I'll remember it as overreaction central. As lies, as screaming, as yelling, as a divided nation for the first time where everybody participated in some way, shape, or form. Not so much even in the actual voting of it, but just in the vocalization of how they feel about parties or whatever. That's what it is. Look, there's a great article yesterday in the Federalist about how, you know, this election is not the most important election of a lifetime. Every election is the most important. Every Super Bowl is the most important Super Bowl. Every single World Series is the most important. It's not. People will remember. We'll remember this year's World Series because the games were good. The seventh game was incredible. And a team that hadn't won in 107 seasons. And by the way, yesterday's like, it's 108 years, you dumb asshat. And he just went off on me. And I'm like, it's 107 seasons. That's what I said. But we'll remember it because Chicago hadn't won for so long, right? That's how we'll remember it. There was some significance to it. But it played out through a time period. And the difference is, the significance is, we forget that Chicago's the world champions now, right? So the world champions. And then next year they go on and they try to win the world championship again, which, by the way, Las Vegas has installed them as the favorites. Winning the election is just the start of the entire process, because now your job begins. I think sometimes we look back and we go, oh, well, we remember parts of certain things, you know, Nixon sweating, you know, I will not raise taxes. I was telling him, I remember things inside of election styles, not so much the election itself, Ross Perot, the charts, the whole nine yards. You know, there's certain things you remember. But also has to do with the presidency. And the overreaction of this is the most important thing ever. This is the most important this. And this, you know, and the militias getting themselves ready. And Peter asked me, he goes, well, what do people think? It's like the next day? Are they coming to take? How does it work? And it's like, it's not going to happen. But they're so worked up that they're going to take away your right to choose, or they're going to take away your guns. It's insanity. It is. And I'll get the hate mail. You just don't understand. You don't get. You don't blab. You don't. And that's what it sounds like. If you're going out there tonight and you're buying every piece of ammunition you can get, and you're going to hunker down in the woods and wait for Armageddon, yeah, you're insane. It's not coming. It's not. Well, Chad, what if you're wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter because it's Armageddon, right? What, are you going to text me and go, I got you? It's not. But the overreaction is tremendous. I enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I like reading the text messages from people who are, you know, getting ready to, you know, for the revolution. I like that. That makes me laugh. I do. Look, all elections are important. We remember some more than others. Some because, like, you know, President Obama, it was historic, right? It was a historic, you know, and his you know, his meteoric rise. Boom. Reagan. We remember bits and pieces of Reagan, even though I was young. And just, you know, because of the whole what was going on. How we were struggling. You remember certain things, but I think some of it also to do with the presidency. It's very interesting. But to say this is the most important election of your lifetime. First of all, there's only one every 4 years. And they're all important in their own way. They're all important. But you know what? Our founding fathers set it up so we weren't going to doom ourselves, right? So we have the three equal branches. We weren't going to blow ourselves up. And if our nation cannot survive an executive that's not very good, a president, whether it be Hillary or Donald, who makes poor choices and who, you know, leads us down a path where we're going a little bit more in debt, or leads us down a path where the world hates us or thinks we're bad. If we can't withstand that, then we're not a strong country anyways, because we can. I've told you since day one, whoever wins, people are going to freak out about it. And you don't need to freak out about it. It is a small portion of what goes on in this country. Yes, they're the figureheads. Yes, they're the leaders. But there are three heads of this Hydra, right? Remember the Hydra? Monster X, I think it was, from the old Godzilla movies. Got the three heads. Each one of them shot laser beams and all kinds of stuff. There's three. We've got, you know, Supreme Court, you know. We got Congress. We have the president. We have the three equal branches. They did all they could to set up a failsafe, so we didn't. But people still panic. I get it every night. You don't get it. You don't understand. You don't get it. This is the most, I know, you say it all the time. It's the most important thing. They're coming for my guns. They're coming to take away my choice. They're coming for this. They're coming for that. 8 years ago, they were coming. They're still coming. Now, it's take a breath for a second, please. This is the final weekend before we vote. And how that vote's going to go, I don't know. But what I do know is we're going to wake up on Wednesday and we're going to have a new president-elect. It'll be Donald Trump. It'll be Hillary Clinton. Those are our choices. One of those two people are going to be president-elect. And eventually, on January 20th, they're going to be president of the United States. Nothing's going to change. You're not going to have your choice taken away in that second. You're not going to have your gun taken away right that second. They're going to try. And I'm going to let you in on this. I know a lot of Republican people who are higher ups, and they're the whole Roe versus Wade thing. I'm telling you guys, they're spinning you guys all day long. And I know a lot of people who are Democrats, and the whole we're here for gun control, they're talking to a loud, boisterous, yet small base of people because it's what they have to do. It's the perception, but not the reality. It's not. The overreaction, the screaming, the yelling, the getting on Facebook. And I don't know, we talked, we went out to lunch on Tuesday. We had a meeting and we went out and we're all sitting there and we're talking. And one of the guys that was with us said, you know, I don't know how many people I have unfollowed or unfriended over the last year. And everybody at the table, I'm like, well, I put it out there. People talk about it. I don't unfriend. I try to keep it as cordial as possible. And if anybody steps over the line, I go after them. But I see so many Facebook things. And I thought to myself, what happens the day after when life goes back to some normalcy? And the people that were your friends who voted for somebody that you didn't agree with, what do you do then? Right? Like, are you just done with them? I don't choose my friends, by the way, based on looks or politics or sexuality or religion. I don't base my the people that are in my life are in my life, and I don't care who they vote for. I don't care what they vote for. I don't care what their beliefs are. They're there because they bring something to my life, and that's cool. But we've become so completely divided, and it's sad because it's all a bunch of you're being told stories, and you're overreacting to the stories you're hearing. And people are selling you a bunch of fake, crappy news that you buy into. And they're giving you part of a story. They're giving you 50% of it. They're not giving you the whole story. They're not giving you everything. They're giving you a smidge. They're giving you a small, itty-bitty part of it. And it's kind of sad. It really is. And this is the world that we're living in right now. And so I'm here to tell you, yes, this is an important election. But don't lose friends over it. Don't pretend you're moving to another country over it. Don't freak out over it. Because that's not going to do you any good. Because you listen to a lot of these people out there, these talking heads, and you read these articles, and you listen to all these things, and you so buy into stuff. When you're a human being who hopefully has an open mind, is somewhat intelligent, and you can cut through the clutter and realize that you're being sold the bill of goods in a lot of ways. The Chad Benson Show Facebook. At Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Love getting text messages. A lot of people still chiming in about the worst songs. Last hour we did 20 of the worst songs ever written and recorded. A lot of funny stuff in there. 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Something that does matter in our lifetime. Straight ahead.
Chad Benson Show.
I mean, this guy's a total whack job.
Everybody, keep calm. Reality resumes Wednesday morning. Just overreaction. It happens everywhere. Look, again, I say this not because I'm trying to be a jerk, but politics, yeah, it's important. But in the overall scheme of things in your life, how truly important is it? For some of you who listen to talk radio all day, who are junkies, politics is all you think about, why haven't you run for office? Monday morning quarterbacks, right? But for a lot of people, it is that itty-bitty slice of pizza. And instead of just being that little itty-bitty slice, you know, everybody is like, oh, my God, there's 10 slices here. But one of them is really tiny. Instead of being just that slice of pizza as far as politics in your life, it's a bite out of that piece. Got so much more. 844-DIG-CHAD. Shane in Indy, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, just a couple points about the election. You know, it's obvious you see the divide between media outlets. If you watch Fox News, you're scared to death. And if you watch CNN, there's nothing going on with regards to Clinton. And the problem I have is corruption, government doesn't become corrupt overnight. It's a gradual progression, right? And the Clintons are just always right on that line. You know, they always have a toe in the water. And it's like, you know, what's the truth? I imagine the truth is somewhere in the middle. And we don't know the truth because, you know, as any freshman law student would point out, they obstructed. They obstructed justice. So we can't really get to the details and come up with a definitive answer as to how corrupt this whole deal is. But what worries me more than anything is, and if you're a WikiLeaks believer or not, you know, we see that, as Clinton says, she has a private and a public persona. You know, and for the Never Trumpers, yeah, he says some stupid things. But I know what I'm getting with Trump, right? But no one knows who Clinton is. Clinton doesn't know who Clinton is. She is whatever the pollsters tell her to be that week. Right?
She's all things to all people when she needs to be, Shane. That's what she is. She's all things to all people when she needs to be. But the funny thing is, even though she's something to you, and she may, when she's on her own, it's really only about herself. She'll be what she needs to be to your face, but in the end, it's probably only about herself. And that's probably most of politics. Let's be real. And I appreciate your call, man. Thanks so much. And here's one of the things, too. I often wonder, who corrupts who? Do you go there? I think many people go to Washington or go to state legislators or go to the and they go there with this wide eye to try to do stuff that's good. And somewhere along the line, it catches up to them. They all lie. Well, you know what? That's subjective as well, because, you know, they tell you they want to give you something better, but they're not the ones who have the magic wand to do that. They're part of a bigger wheel. But yeah, a lot of times they do. They tell you everything they need to tell you because they're all things to all people at the time. They're chameleons. Not all chameleons are bad. And when it comes to the Clintons, you know, Shane's right about one thing. We don't know who she is. And that's her doing, mind you. She's been that way. She built herself this persona. She did it. She wanted to hide stuff, even if it was good stuff. She wanted to keep everything she possibly could under wraps. And so she built this perception reality, you're a bad person, you're a good person, we don't know, take my word for it kind of thing. And then we catch her in a lie here and catch her in a lie there, or I forgot about this or I forgot about that. And, you know, next thing you know, it's like you've cried wolf so many times, we don't believe you anymore. And there may be a wolf there. We don't believe you. And he's right. It's probably somewhere in the middle. For the people on the left, she's not as squeaky clean as you guys would like to believe. And for the people on the right, she's probably not the satanic, you know, child-eating, you know, 666 person that you think. But there's always too much mystery. And with Donald, we do get what we get, right? You know what you get. It's like you date the same person over and over again. You know what you get. Donald's that. You know what we're going to get with him. He's going to be erratic. He's going to be aloof. He's going to say some things. He's going to embarrass a few times. He's going to do some stuff that's good. He's going to expose some people for who they really are. He's going to pull back the curtains a little bit. He's going to be frustrated. He's going to be frustrating. There's a lot of stuff in there with him. But at least we know it's out there. We know what we're going to get with him. With her, we don't have any idea. But what I do know is, no matter who wins, you're going to get America the next day. You're not waking up in a new country where you've lost all the things that you hold dear and near to your heart. You're still going to wake up to America. And that's the beauty of it, right? That's the beauty of it. They are two people, of which there will be one standing, of which that person's not going to destroy us. And if you think in your heart that that person's going to destroy our country, then our country isn't very good. Isn't very strong. But I beg to differ. I think our country's strong. I think our country's amazing. And I think our country will be just fine. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. Text us as well, 323-538-2423, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Will America be America on Wednesday if Hillary wins? Will it be America on Wednesday if Donald wins? People are still freaking out about it. Again, a few days left. It's the last shopping days before Christmas for many. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. I think a lot of people out there are overreacting and panicking. It's true. It's true. And you know what? I heard it 8 years ago. I have. I heard it 8 years ago, and I don't buy it. I don't buy the panic. I don't buy the fact that we're going to wake up and it's going to be somehow a different country. All presidents have worried about stuff. Right? People have worried through time. You go back and look what people said long gone in the days of y'all. People were worried that if so-and-so becomes president, we're going to go back to this. If such-and-such becomes president, all this is going away. And it's not happening. Jesse Greenwood, Indy, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chad. First of all, love the show.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I do kind of have to semi-disagree with you, though. Totally heard the same thing back when Obama was getting elected, that we weren't going to wake up to the same country. But to an extent, I mean, Hillary has already, you know, come out that the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment. You know, she wants to completely do away with the Second Amendment, which isn't physically possible. But if she gets in, she gets her justices in, you know, within a year, within 2 or 3 years, our Second Amendment will be rotted away. Wednesday, if the election is Wednesday morning, for example, we will still wake up in America. But a year from Wednesday, maybe 4 years from Wednesday, I mean, Obamacare, she's going to keep pushing premiums. You know, they're going to keep going up, and families aren't going to be able to afford health care. If Hillary gets elected within time, because she's already come out and basically said the horrible things that she said, Obama never came out and said, hey, I'm going to take your rights away when I get in office. So that was a little premature, but Hillary's already going to, you know, she's already come out and she's already said, you know, I'm going to do all these horrible things. I really think that she'll go through with them too. And the Second Amendment is one of my worst fears, because that's kind of one of the things that holds our country, that makes our country our country.
Let me tell you though, Jesse, she did say a lot of things, but she's also said something that's very true, which is she's different in private as she is in public. She keeps people on the left in that small rabble-rouser of a crowd excited when she talks about the Second Amendment. Much like her husband, I think she's going to be more middle of the road, because her husband realized, hey, that's where the best place to govern from, because you know what? That's the only way to govern. And I have a feeling that she is going to be much more middle of the road than a lot of people think. And she's also facing a situation here, too. Let me tell you something, where take all of that away. Even if she wanted to do all those things, if she gets indicted and this is hanging over, she's not getting anything done. I don't care if she wants to pass a law to name a fly a superfly. She ain't getting it done. It's just never going to happen. Even if everybody agrees with her, like, that's the superfly. It's so big and it's got a cape. It's not going to happen. So there's a lot of things that are going on here that are out there. And you have to remember something, too. And this is something I think people don't understand. Appreciate your call, Jesse. That there is a lot of people out there who are Democrats, who have guns, who believe in the Constitution. There are a lot of people out there who believe in the Constitution, who believe in what it stands for, and the Second Amendment is a part of that, and they're gun owners as well, and they would flip a script, and they realize that. It's not just singularly about, well, I want to do something. Remember, she's not getting voted queen. The same thing goes for you out there freaked out about Trump. He's not being voted king or emperor. 844-DIG-CHAD. Gene in Indy, what's going on?
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to talk to you about, I'm one of those people that I do listen to talk radio. In fact, I listen to you almost every night for a while. But I worry about politics because I worry about the future. And our country has gone down and down and down for so many years, and mostly with the Democrats in there. And I want to give somebody else a chance because I worry about my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I worry about the future. And as we have found out, there is a lot of corruption in Washington, and hopefully the Republicans will have a backbone enough to stand up and do something about it. And I know you have a son, Jack, and I'm sure that you probably worry about the future, his future. So that's the reason that I think everybody's so excited. We're not going to get a miracle. You know, Tuesday and Wednesday, everybody's going to be thinking we're living in a whole different country. But at least give us a shot. You
absolutely
know, let's try this.
You know what? I agree 110%. Look, it's not that I don't worry about the future, but I also realize, Gene, the future's coming whether we want it to or not. And the future's going to look a lot different today. At 50 years from now and 100 years from now. And those are just things that we can't even comprehend. And so, yes, some things are going to change. And some change is good and some change may not be so good. But how many times have we all heard stories about we're worrying for the future and this and that and the other? Yet you said you worry for the country because we've gone down. Our country's not gone down. We're still the greatest country on earth. Have we had some missteps? Yeah, but you know what? Compared to everybody else, they've been so minor. We have low crime rates. We're the wealthiest nation on earth. We're still driving forward. Despite what a lot of people think, our medical industry is still amazing. There are so many things that make us who we are. But when you just listen all day to people tell you how bad things are, you start to buy into that. And the fact is, that's not all true, Gene. It's not. Yes, we have made some missteps. And yes, there are some things I would like to see us clear up. And one of them is having somebody like Donald potentially in the office who would maybe open up the you know, open up the drawer there and let us take a peek in and see what's inside this thing and find out that, oh, wow, there is a lot of crazy corruption and some weirdness going on. Or maybe he gets in there and says, look, it's not as bad as people think it is. I don't know. And I understand what you're saying, though, but I don't think we're going to be done tomorrow. I don't. And I think that, you know what, everybody, I'm going to worry about my son's future and he's going to worry about his son's future. And even if he's 1,000 times more successful and popular and lives in a safe world, he'll worry about it then, because that's what we inherently do. I appreciate your call. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. It is amazing. But you understand that this is the world we live in now. The fear factor that's out there for a lot of people is amazing. And we shouldn't be fearful. Look, the future's coming, right? Tomorrow is going to get here. Whether you want to stay on Friday night or not, you're going to wake up tomorrow on Saturday. We're going to do Friday again. It's just not happening. And yes, there are things that we need to pay attention to and things that we should really be focusing on to making us the country that I think a lot of us want to live in. But at the same time, worrying about something. I think it was Buddha who said this. Why worry about something you can change, and why cry about something you can't? It's the world we live in. We're going to wake up on Wednesday with a president-elect. And whatever side of the aisle this person's come from, they're just going to be a snapshot in what is going to be a very long, 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 long reign as the greatest country on earth. And they will be a snapshot. That's it. No more, no less. Even if they're the greatest, they're still only going to be a snapshot. This is funny, and this is great. And Hubert's calling, switching subject. Hubert, in Indy, you had earworms, and it took you 30 years to get We Are the World out of your head.
Yes, it did. Oh, man. I don't know what you're doing to me, man.
That, you know,
love
what?
The show.
Thank you so much. That is funny, because earworms were one of the things they said that helped people with catchy tunes. And it's crazy to think We Are the World is what, even now, it's in my head right now. And it's one of those things that's, oh, God, it is a tough listen, isn't it? And now that's going to be in your head forever again. Sorry about that, Hubert. Can't believe that we did that to him. I love the fact that Prince didn't want to be in it because he knew it was horrible. And you're turning down Quincy Jones, too. Like, Prince was big, but he wasn't, you know, he was huge, but it wasn't like he was 45 and you know, he was still, he's still a lot of years left ahead of him. Not as many as he thought, but he still had a lot of years left ahead of him. But I hope, Hubert, that you enjoyed the We Are the World, and we'll make sure we play it all the time for you.
don't forget, Willie Nelson was in that.
Oh, that's right. Gosh. Willie Nelson. There was a lot of people in that. I think there were some actors in that as well, too. It was just...
Oh, man. Huey Lewis, the guy from Journey, was in there. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It was crazy. And I know Bob Dylan was so nervous, and I appreciate your call, Hubert. Got to jump. I know Bob Dylan was so nervous to be in that he actually had to sing his part by himself. He didn't want to sing in front of other people. And it was after the Grammys, and they did it all in one night. And what did they give us? A pile of crap. But we went out and bought that damn T-shirt, and we raised a lot of money for Africa that ended up going to warlords and causing even a bigger mess. But you know what? In the end, we tried hard. And really, that's all that matters. Speaking of stuff that matters, how about you get yourself healthy by using Super Beats? Chad, really? Yes, really. I care about you. I care about your health. I care about your future. And your future is going to taste and feel a whole lot better with Super Beats. There's a natural way to get dietary nitrates into your body and then convert them to nitric oxide, and that is by taking Super Beats. It's the easiest way. Boom, spoon, water, Super Beats. Stir it up, drink it, doesn't taste like beets, away you go. You will love the taste and you'll love the energy. Within minutes, you're going to get tons of energy. Your stamina is going to be through the roof. It is incredible. And remember, it's about blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. I've replaced all of my, you know, I used to have all kinds of caffeinated drinks, and I would do some of those energy drinks. Now it's only Super Beats. That's it. I take it, and away I go. The energy, I feel the difference. It supports my heart health, my healthy blood pressure. It's amazing. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You're also going to get nitric oxide indicator strips, free to use before and after. When you get these, you take them, shows if it's working your body or not. You'll see the difference. Plus, you're going to get a book called Beat the Odds, free and free shipping. It's guaranteed your money back. That's what I love about this. They put their money where their mouth is. Guaranteed or your money back. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com. Remember, free shipping, guaranteed your money back. The book, Beat the Odds, and the strips. You're going to love this. Go to chadbeats.com. Call 800-561-2677, 800-561-2677, or chadbeats.com. Cubs won the World Series. They had a party today in Chicago. Wait to hear how big this party was. I think you're going to be surprised. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
We are the world. Hubert said it was an annoying song. Looking back on it, it was horrible. For a good cause. But I did say there were actors in there. And Dan Aykroyd was in there. Let's see here. Who else was an actor that was in there? Bette Midler. She's an actor-singer, but I think she's more a singer than anything else. But Dan Aykroyd was part of it. And, you know, I'm just looking at, here's some of the people. The soloists: Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, Paul Simon, Kenny Rogers, James Ingram, Tina Turner, Billy Joel, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Dionne Warwick, Willie Nelson, Al Jarreau, Bruce Springsteen, Kenny Loggins, Steve Perry, Daryl Hall, Huey Lewis. It's funny how Oates didn't get a sing on that. Cyndi Lauper, Kim Carnes, Bob Dylan, Ray Charles. And then you've got Aykroyd, Belafonte, Lindsey Buckingham, Sheila E. Bob Geldof, who was part of Live Aid, was also in the chorus as a singer. Some of these other people I've never heard of, but it was definitely Blues Brothers. But I don't think that's really, I mean, he's an actor, right? You know, he's an actor. So, and then it was, but very interesting and horrible too, by the way, just horrible. Band Aid was all the top British, and Kool in the Gang. Kool in the Gang was it. Like, Kool in the Gang. Kool in the Gang. Very, very interesting, to say the least. Raised a ton of money, and the funny thing is, if you know the backstory of how much money it raised, with Live Aid, and then with, you know, the We Are the World, and all the fight, the Ethiopian famine that was going on, and all this stuff. And again, a lot of times in life, you have this great idea, and you think it through, and you think that nothing can go wrong. They raised all of this money, hundreds of millions of dollars, and from the concerts and the songs, and it's, we don't realize that it caused more death and war than probably what was going on. And the funny thing is, out of all of those things, Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas, is now a good Christmas song that we play every year. Talk about white privilege, right? Talk about white privilege. We sang a Christmas song to help starving people in Africa. It caused more harm than it did good. And now every year when all these stations flip over to Christmas, it's one of our favorite Christmas songs. I love America. Speaking of America, I got the top 11 largest human gatherings in history. The reason I'm talking about that is because something that took place today here in America was added to this list. Anti-war march, 2003, 3 million people showed up in Rome. The Hajj pilgrimage in Mecca, 2012, 3 million people. This is crazy. Rod Stewart concert, Brazil, 3.5 million people. Do you think I'm sexy? Yes, for 3.5 million people, absolutely. Funeral of Gamal Abdel Nasser, 1970, 5 million. Today's Cubs celebration, over 5 million people, puts them at 7. World Youth Day, don't remember it. 1995, 5 million people. The papal gathering in the Philippines in 2015, 6 million. The funeral of Ayatollah Khomeini, where they pulled him out of the box and he was kind of coming apart and it was just... That had 10 million people. The funeral of Sian Andurai of India, 1969, 15 million. Man, 15 million people show up at your funeral? you're probably all right. Or not. Or people are scared that your henchmen are going to kill you. The Aberin Festival in Iraq, 2014, $17 million. And then this, and I don't know if you remember this. We were all there. I think all of us were there. It was the Kumbh Mel pilgrimage in India, 2013. 30 million people showed up, mostly on top of trains. Oh, my Lord. Last weekend of the political season. I'm excited. Will some stuff drop tomorrow? The possibilities, they're there. Let's not pretend they're not because, you know, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange is going to be giving his little speech at some point in time tomorrow. Or there may be nothing else. This may be a quiet weekend, the calm before the storm come Monday, and, of course, Election Day Tuesday. But I want to tell you this. While I don't think this is the most important election of our time, and you may agree or disagree with me, I am telling you we are a stronger nation, and we will come through whatever is going to happen. And either one of these people, I don't know how they're going to preside over our country. Could be horrible, it could be great, but our country is much greater than a singular individual. So just remember that this weekend before you go get all your guns and, you know, lock the doors and think everything's going away. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll see you soon. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.